Monitor, and the title song of one of Broadway's biggest musicals, Promises, Promises, made by Derrick and Ray. I'm Ted Steele enjoying the evening, but Sue Rainey's still got those early morning blues and greens.
A distant night bird mocks the sun. I wake as I have always done. To freshly scented sycamore. Slow, and I will. shadow grow and disappear in firelight. Then sleep alone again tonight.
Now, here's Monitor Sports with a name to remember. Bowie Kuhn. He's a 42-year-old Wall Street attorney who remembers earning a dollar a day as a schoolboy by working the scoreboard for the Washington Senators. This week, he became baseball's new commissioner. And Guy Lebeau checked the story on Monitor's open line.
Commissioner Bowie Kuhn, congratulations on your appointment as Commissioner Pro Tem of Major League Baseball.
Thank you, Guy.
Commissioner, your most immediate problem is that threatened player boycott of spring training, and how do you propose to get negotiations moving again? It's a big one.
Well, there's certainly a problem. That's quite apparent. However, as you may know, Guy, I've had considerable contact with the Players Association and with the Player Relations Committee, which has been representing the clubs on this. And I am quite confident that these parties are determined to reach a compromise settlement of this and that they'll do so. And I think they've got to be given reasonable time to do that.
There isn't any question, Commissioner, that all of the fans expect and now want a strong and gutsy commissioner. Is that the kind we can hope from? insofar as you're concerned, is that the kind we can hope for?
It's a fine question, Guy. I certainly think so.
Commissioner, your job is only for 1 year. And the problem would seem to be that if you got any programs started, you might not have enough time to implement them.
I think probably a year is adequate time. With the kind of cooperation that I expect to get, and as evidenced by the 24 unanimous votes I got for this job, I think the two leagues are going to work together in a better way than they ever have before to do this. And where that is the way it's done, then you can move much more efficiently and much more rapidly.
Commissioner, do you intend to be, among all things, a vocal, visible commissioner?
I'm going to try very hard to be. I think it's an important function of the commissioners.
Commissioner, they say that you and your family of exuberant children were the most surprised in the entire ballpark when the call came.
They were very surprised. They were very delighted. And the accounts of my children's reaction when various news media called them up on the telephone and told them the news, which they hadn't gotten yet, was something that really warmed my heart.
Thank you, Commissioner Bowie Kuhn.
Thank you very much, Guy.
Good to have you on this open line at Monitor.
Thank you.
This is Guy Lebeau for NBC Monitor Sports.
Big Al Hurt travels around the country with his band for money, for fun, and to lose weight. Seems he has a restaurant in New Orleans, and any time his trumpet isn't in his mouth, food is. Here he is with his no-cal trumpet.
Thank you.
If you think we have commuter problems here at home, console yourself with the fact that it's a worldwide situation. Everybody, it seems, is being taken for a ride. And we'll find out why in a few moments here on the Monitor Beacon.
This is Big Wilson. All I said was, where can you find Simon and Garfunkel, Herb Alpert, The Fifth Dimension, Dionne Warwick, and Tony Bennett? And boy, did I get told where to go.
This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where you find Big Wilson and everyone, weekdays 9 to noon.
You roll right out 11, 7 is crap, crap 11. Good old, they're coming out. How much gold? You rolling in?
Are you a consistent loser because of your gambling? Are you losing your wages, your savings, and your loved ones? Then it's possible that you are suffering from a serious illness known as compulsive gambling. A compulsive gambler gets progressively worse as he continues to gamble. If you have a desire to end this constant turmoil and want help to live a normal life, contact Gamblers Anonymous by calling Murray Hill 97500. Don't gamble with your life.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York. Yes, my friend, you're moving ahead with Monitor. I'm Ted Steele, moving ahead with music. Percy Faith and Company, Stormy. Keep the faith, Percy, keep the faith.
You were the sunshine, baby, whenever you smile, but I call you Stormy today. All of a sudden, that old rain's falling down, and my
population at the beginning of this year was 3.5 billion, and that it is estimated it will reach 5 billion before the end of this century. That's why this message is important to all of us. Planned Parenthood may mean the difference between freedom and famine. The freedom to choose for parents here and overseas is essential. Planned Parenthood programs are operating in more than 100 countries. If you're interested in supporting their efforts, get in touch with your local information office. And now for a lighter approach to the same subject. If you have plans to be a parent eventually, you know what to do on that first date? Send her flowers.
He loves me. He loves
me. He's sending you a Valentine candy and flowers arrangement through his nearby FTD florist.
He loves me.
One day Ed Ames asked himself, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer was yes, which may be why he kept singing and the other three got out of the business.
We We are wandering, we are wandering, like the shadows of the sun. Never quite the same at evening as when morning had begun. Tasting wine from many vineyards, testing truth from many shores, looking into funhouse mirrors, looking out of prison doors. Changing, changing, ever changing, like the waves upon the sand, reaching in to find a meaning, reaching out to touch a hand. We are searching, searching in the tea leaves on a spoon, placing palms upon a table, charting phases of the moon, tearing cobwebs from illusions, spinning new ones in their place, finding solace in the chalice or forgiveness in a face. Changing, changing, ever changing, like the waves upon the sand, reaching in to find a meaning, reaching out to touch a hand. We are drifting, we are drifting through the pathways of the stars, seeking answers from the rainbows in refrigerated jars, staring voiceless at the ceiling as the jasmine candles burn, trading gold dust in for mushrooms, no deposit, no return. Changing, changing, ever changing, like the waves upon the sand, reaching in to find the meaning, reaching out to touch your hand.
Anywhere you go around the world, you'll find a commuter problem, from London to Lausanne, from Timbuktu to Tokyo. Monitors everywhere this week to find out what the problems are. And here's a report from London, where the brave British may finally have met their Waterloo station.
The city of London would come to a halt if it weren't for the commuter trains. Every day, 1 million businessmen get on 1,000 trains for the trip to London. Whatever complaints they might have, they can't complain of being lonely. The fact that there are so many commuters all traveling at the same time is what the railroads complain about. For years now, rail officials have been trying to get business houses to stagger their hours. They say even 15 minutes would make the difference between a jam-packed train and one with seats for everybody. But crowded as British trains sometimes are, they still offer good service. They are old-fashioned, with their separate compartments for smokers and non-smokers and for first and second-class travelers. Most British rail equipment dates back to before World War II, but it functions. The seats are soft, and the heating works, and the fares are cheap, from 1 to 3.5 cents a mile, depending on the distance you travel. By and large, British trains run on time, except, of course, when there are labor troubles, as we had last year, or when it freezes, like it's doing this weekend. When the rare cold spell hits Britain, its trains suffer. Millions of man-hours are lost, but the rail people say it would be simply crippling to put in de-icing switches and other winter equipment. As it is, British railroads lose $150 million a year. They're nationalized and have been since 1948, so the government gets the bill. Of course, this means the taxpayer keeps the British trains running. But then there's a certain justice in this. The biggest taxpayers in Britain are the people who ride the trains in the first place. David Weber, NBC News, London.
Meanwhile, halfway around the world in Tokyo, the trains seem to be running on time, but the number of autos increases faster than the roads can be built to accommodate them. And every driver seems to be an old kamikaze pilot.
When it comes to transportation, the Japanese have it, some of the best and some of the worst. Japanese rail travel is probably the finest in the entire world, but her narrow roadways, clogged with trucks and brand new motor cars, are a nightmare for driver and passenger alike. Japan's highway accident record is atrocious. Since the Japanese brought in the first railroad train from the West back in the days of Emperor Meiji, they've relied heavily on rail transportation. In fact, until the post-war economic boom brought the automobile within range of middle-class budgets, virtually everyone traveled by train. Most of them still do. Japanese trains are plentiful, and they run on time. The pride of the nation is, of course, the Shinkansen, or the bullet train, put into service in 1954 between Tokyo and Osaka. It makes the run of more than 300 miles in about 3 hours, and it's giving the airline severe competition. There's one of the high-speed trains every 20 or 30 minutes. They're nearly always full, and they've proved that passenger service on railways can be both pleasant and profitable. Highways in Japan are something else again. Japan is building them at a fast pace. Clover leaves now loop through the picturesque Japanese countryside, but they can't be built fast enough. Japan's burgeoning automobile industry is now turning out more than 3 million vehicles a year. The Japanese consumer now has the money to buy them and to put them on the road. The result is more congestion, bigger traffic jams, and no end in sight. This is John Rich, NBC News.
And there'll be more on the commuter here at home and around the world throughout the Monitor weekend. Tijuana Brass, Monday. And do you know why Monday's child is fair of face? Because on Saturday and Sunday, she listens to Monitor. And in Western Oregon, she hears us on KUGN Eugene. I'm Ted Steele.
Now, that's the show. Rowan and Martin and the Four Seasons. Those are the guests. This is Roscoe. Join us next week on NBC Radio.
Hi, this is Joe O'Brien. An art exhibit, an auction of oil paintings, etchings, and graphics by contemporary American and international artists will be held at the Jewish Center of Kings Highway, Avenue P and East 12th Street tomorrow, Sunday, February 9th, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. There's no admission charge, and everybody's welcome. The Ethical Humanist Society of Long Island announces that the first event of its spring forum will feature a discussion on the new politics by Dr. Saul K. Padover. On Tuesday, February 11th, Dr. Padover, renowned authority on Thomas Jefferson and currently on the graduate faculty of the New School of Social Research, will take a first look at President Nixon. Now, the program begins at 8:30 p.m. It's at the headquarters of the Ethical Humanist Society, 38 Old Country Road in Garden City. If you want any further information, call area code 516-741-7304.
Who's the best-informed man on radio? Brad Crandall. Just ask him. Weeknights, 9 to midnight, on WNBC Radio 660, New York.
Here's And here's Ted Steele. And here's Spanky and our gang.
La la.
And she's mine.
La la la.
Can spring cleaning be far behind? And Dr. Joyce Brothers has some ideas about who suffers the most when the doing over of a house is overdone.
Few men will believe it, but it's true. The redecorating that commonly accompanies spring house cleaning is harder on the little woman than it is on the husband who foots the bills. In fact, it's so hard on so many that psychoanalyst Milton Saperstein has placed it with marriage, childbirth, and the menopause as a crisis period in the life of the female. Why should repainting the kitchen, selecting a new sofa for the living room and a bedspread for the bed, cause the lady to panic? Because, psychologists have found, a woman considers her home an extension and expression of herself, or rather, of the self she'd like to be. This brings long-buried conflicts to the surface of her consciousness, and these in turn arouse anxiety. Everything she does, every decision she makes about decorating, brings her face to face with contradictions in herself. She finds it difficult to decide what color to paint the kitchen because, whether she realizes it or not, any color she chooses is one her mother will or won't approve. If she selects a color her mother likes, it will remind her of a dependence she wishes to shed. If the color is one her mother dislikes, then it represents a rejection of the parent and can arouse feelings of guilt. The bedroom often proves the hardest spot for the wife-turned-decorator to tackle. Just purchasing a new bedspread is likely to bring to the fore all her fears about her own femininity and her marital relations. Usually, these are secret doubts she keeps carefully hidden, even from herself. But she realizes, perhaps subconsciously, that the way she decorates the bedroom may betray her. As a consequence, she sometimes finds she can't do the job alone. Then she tries to share the burden with her husband, even taking him along to pick out the new bedspread. Imagine his bewilderment when his selection causes her to burst into tears or into a tirade of abuse. In her mind, any choice he makes carries with it an implied criticism of her and of their most intimate relationship. At this point, the befuddled husband may suggest that she place her decorating problems in the hands of a professional and go off on a long trip. Other methods often used are the descent into a deep depression or the sudden collapse of the nervous breakdown. All these measures are extreme and expensive. Most women just muddle through as best they can. And in doing so, many not only get their decorating done, but also face and solve some of their psychological problems. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers, Four Monitor.
Maybe after the house is finished, a husband should decorate his wife for service above and beyond the call of duty. Buonasera means good evening, like right now on Monitor. Just thought you'd like to know as Jimmy Rosselli sings about it.
When the sky turns a hazy red, sun heads home for its lazy bed. That's the time of day to say buonasera. Friends get friendly, sweethearts smile. They all know in a little while that such lovely things begin with buonasera. I would meet you where lovers meet, a small piazza or a shady street, just to hear the way you say buonasera. If you said it in a thousand ways, I'd be waiting for a thousand days for that little Italian phrase buonasera. In the fields as you're passing by, mountain towns reaching for the sky, everybody stops to say buonasera. You can hear as you're driving home, south of Napoli or north of Rome, it's good evening, welcome back, buonasera. The day is ending, the night is near, and I'm intending to get there, dear, for that special way you say buonasera. When you say it, my world turns gay. It's not good morning, it's not good day. It's not I love you, but it sounds that way. Buonasera. I would meet you where lovers meet, a small piazza or a shady street, just to hear the way you say buonasera. They're two words that I've heard before, lovely words that I still adore, but they mean just a little more from you. If you said it in a thousand ways, I'd be waiting for a thousand days for that little Italian phrase buonasera.
Most people being interviewed usually say no comment when they don't want to answer. But Professor Arnold Weinstein of Yale said the same thing in a scholarly way this week. The situation is too complex to brave the epistemological vicissitudes of diurnal journalism. No comment. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
WNBC News tells you what you want to know when you want to know it. First.
Range safety arm light on.
Right. Affirmative.
Range ready?
Ready.
Water system ready?
This is Frank Gorin. For fast, factual, frequent news reports, join me and the WNBC News staff right here. This is the place. WNBC Radio 660.
2-1-0.
If you've driven down the highway and seen the familiar round cogwheel emblem indicating that there's a Rotary Club in town, it won't surprise you to learn that there are 13,500 Rotary Clubs in 145 countries. What you may not be aware of is that there's a thriving Rotary Club right in the center of Manhattan. It has nearly 550 business and professional men in its membership, dedicated to high business and professional practices and to significant community and international service. WNBC Radio salutes the Rotary Club of New York as it celebrates its 60th anniversary.
WNBC Radio 660, New York.
The music's from Monitor, Traces, by a group that didn't hesitate 1 minute to identify themselves as the Classics Four. For what, fellas?
Faded photographs, covered now with lines and creases, tickets torn in half, memories and bits and pieces, traces of love. Souvenirs of days
Traces to the races or any other competition going today, an item from the Monitor Sports Desk. The United States Lawn Tennis Association approved a new competitors category today, player. A player is an amateur over 19 years of age who will be permitted to register for prize money in open tournaments and also share an income from endorsements and exhibitions. The first amateur to announce his intention to play for money under the new player category is Army Lieutenant Arthur Ashe, America's top-ranking star. And here's an item from the Monitor Music Department by Ray Conniff and Company.
I'm
not somebody you've got your eyes on, huh? Let her know about it.
He loves me.
He's sending you a Valentine candy and flowers arrangement through his nearby FTD florist.
He loves me.
Everyone knows that San Francisco has cable cars, a famous bridge, and is built on hills. Very picturesque. Unless you're trying to move as quickly as possible from one place to another. Here's a monitor report from the Bay City.
Last week, in 1 hour of a commute rush, more than 7,000 cars crossed the graceful Golden Gate Bridge into San Francisco. It was a record and is evidence of the Bay Area's growing transportation problems. A long list of solutions are in various stages of development. The biggest hope is BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit, a 70-mile high-speed rail system tying together the counties of Contra Costa, Alameda, and San Francisco. When complete, any point in the system should be little more than 25 minutes away. BART is supposed to be operative in 1972 if financial problems can be overcome. For the 300,000 residents of Marin County across the Golden Gate Bridge, possible transportation solutions include expansion of existing bus service, talk of double-decking the bridge, or reviving the ferries that plied the bay waters before the bridge put them out of business. For the 500,000 people on the peninsula south of San Francisco, plans are for a separate rapid transit system that would eventually tie into BART and service commuters as far away as San Jose, 60 miles south. The peninsula now enjoys rail commute service by the Southern Pacific, but the SP makes no secret it wants out of hauling people. Greyhound offers commute bus service throughout much of the Bay Area, but like SP, would like out. San Francisco has almost no freeways, and residents want to keep it that way. To them, freeways are a scar on the landscape, and besides, they take land off the tax rolls. Mayor Joseph Alioto recently sent Governor Ronald Reagan a letter saying any future freeways through San Francisco will have to be underground. He was serious. The upshot of it is, you can't drive through San Francisco without seeing the city. And that's good for business. Robert Lazich, NBC News, San Francisco.
And there's more to be said as Monitor continues its report on the commuter here and abroad throughout the weekend. I don't know if Claudine Longet is a commuter, but her song's title sounds like the thought of someone looking up the track and waiting for the 5:14 to appear. Hurry on down.
Hurry on down to my house, baby. Ain't nobody home but me. Hurry on down to my house, baby. I'm as blue as I can be. Mama's gone, Papa too. I called you on the phone because I'm feeling blue. Hurry on down to my house, baby. Ain't nobody home but me. Hurry on, hurry home, hurry down, baby. Ain't nobody home but me. Hurry on down, baby. I'm as blue as I can be. I can't wait, so how can you? Don't you know that I depend on what you do? Hurry on down to my house, baby. Baby, be at my house soon. Nobody home but me. Hurry on down, baby. I'm as blue as I can ever be soon. I love you. I called you on the phone because I'm feeling blue. Hurry on down to my house, baby. Baby, be at my house soon. Ain't nobody home but me. Nobody home but me.
That's cute. Say, let's hurry on down now to Monitor on Stage. Star performances at leading theaters and clubs around the world. And in the spotlight at Harrah's Lake Tahoe, a man who tells it the funny way it is, Bill Cosby, who remembers Mama and has a few thoughts about Papa, too.
Mothers are beautiful. They are really beautiful for one real reason. They cry for anything. Any reason they cry, man. You could find a piece of wood in the gutter. A piece of old raggedy wood. Just a piece of wood. And taken, you don't even have to wipe it off. Just take your little penknife and put a nick in it. And just carry it on home to her. And say, look, Mom, see what I made for you? Your mother will say, oh, my heavens. See, that does habit over fathers, man. Because you take that same piece of wood, give it to your father. Dad, I made this for you. What is this, a piece of wood? You're trying to get it. Get that thing out of here. That's why fathers don't get good presents, because they don't cry. Father's Day comes, right? What happens? Every father's got to tell everybody, you know, today is Father's Day, for crying out loud. Mother's Day, you break your back, man, buying, you know, working to buy some presents. Father's Day, you go up to your father, Dad, give me 35 cents. I want to buy a pack of cigarettes. And then you smoke half the pack coming home. And that isn't even his brand. All fathers fall asleep watching the television set. Haven't met one yet that didn't fall asleep with one shoe off, propped up on the sofa, and just snored. 3 o'clock in the morning. And you come in the house and the television set's going. And you walk over and turn it off. Turn it back on. I was looking at that. Don, what are you talking about? It was Conrad. They didn't want me to detect it.
Monitor on stage with Bill Cosby, a very funny family man. Roger Williams, Only for Lovers. Say, did you see the story out of Fort Worth, Texas? The big thing is personalized license plates, despite the extra $10 cost. One motorist ordered a plate with the word lover on it. But since there's two sides to everything, his wife's car has a plate with this editorial comment. Ha, ha, ha. NBC News on the hour next. I'm Ted Steele.